The Bible often uses analogies to teach spiritual truths. And you'll find that throughout the scripture in both testaments. Jesus did the same when he taught in his earthly ministry. Tonight we're going to see the analogies that God uses in the animal kingdom to describe the behavior and the conduct of people within the church. Are you ready for this? This is good. All right. And let me just kind of introduce it with some scriptures to kind of give you the idea of what we're going to be talking about. For example, in just a few scriptures just to kind of set the stage. Psalm 95 and verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. You see that? People of his pasture, sheep of his hand. Again, describing God's people. Look at Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. And there are three verses in this chapter where we see this analogy. Verse 23, 26, and 27. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for the food. In the New Testament, go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And in verse 15. Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. So you see the word picture and the analogy that the Lord is painting to describe people in his vineyard. And then one more, look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30. Speaking to the pastors at Ephesus, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So again, you see how the Holy Spirit uses Paul here to use the analogy of animals and going back and forth synonymously with the animal kingdom, describing different types of people. So what we're going to talk about tonight is shepherds, sheep, goats, wolves, and guard dogs. That's the title. The title is also the outline. All right? So point number one, the shepherds. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15 is the text that we will use. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And of course, real pastors, genuine pastors, are sent by God. I will give you pastors according to mine heart. That's to be contrasted to the professional pastors who are not called of God, but rather self-made pastors or denominational pastors or maybe even a mama sent pastor. But they're not a God-called pastor. And I fear that today in our churches we have too many of the professional pastors and not enough of the God-sent pastors. But nevertheless, a true pastor is called by God. I will give you pastors according to mine heart, and their responsibility is to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Of course, the way they do that is through the dissemination of the word. Now, of course, we realize that Jesus is the chief shepherd, according to 1 Peter chapter 5. Amen. He's the chief shepherd. And we, his pastors, are under shepherds that God has called into his vineyard. Okay, now let's quickly go on to the animal kingdom to show how they are described in the body. Let's go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The first two verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Here David is picturing himself as what animal? Say it. The sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. So he's painting a picture of himself being a sheep, and he's following the shepherd, which is the Lord. Now there's, you know, there's two kinds of sheep when we think about sheep allegorically. There's the bad sheep who are the robots of men and who are led into captivity sheepishly by men. That's, of course, the negative connotation. But the positive connotation is that the picture of a Christian, a believer, who is willing to be led of his shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we, as God's children, while we never want to become the robots of men in sheepish slavery and servitude, we do need to be the sheep of our Lord, the chief shepherd, who leads us according to his will. Can I get an amen on that? All right, so please understand the distinction. Here, obviously, David is using the positive analogy of sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, what are the attributes of sheep, or maybe a better word would be the characteristics of sheep? Here are some of the characteristics of sheep. Number one, we find right here in our text, sheep love still waters. He leadeth me beside still waters. Sheep love still waters. They do not drink from violent waters, from waters that are tumultuous. They don't feel comfortable, and they're not even biologically equipped to drink substantially from waters that are not still. So sheep love still waters. That's why David used that analogy. If anybody knew the characteristics of sheep, it would be David. Amen? I mean, after all, he was a shepherd from his youth, and he watched sheep constantly. So he knew their characteristics. He knew their habits, etc., etc. So when he said he leadeth me beside the still waters, he's referring to the sheep that he observed under his care as a shepherd when he was young. They love to drink from calm waters. The representation for us as God's children is that we as God's people would desire waters that are peaceful and contented. We do not desire strife and contention. There are other animals that would drink freely from tumultuous waters, but not the sheep. They love still waters. And so the sheep in God's pasture love peace and tranquility and unity and joy. They do not like confrontation and discord and disharmony. They shun that. In their nature, that just doesn't go well with them. Now, goats and wolves, they really don't care what kind of water they drink from. Now, they'll drink from a fast-moving river just as quickly as they would a calm lake, but not sheep. They love the calm waters. Secondly, sheep love to lie down in green pastures. See it again in verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This represents God's people who love to feast and graze on the Word of God. The grass is green and it is full and bountiful, and the sheep love to graze in this environment. And so too God's people, they love to feast on the Word of God. They want to hear the Word of God. They want to know the Word of God. They want to learn the Word of God. It's not superficial. It's really a part of their nature to become knowledgeable of the Word and to eat and feast. And the Bible in the New Testament refers to the Scripture using the analogy of food. For example, the Apostle Paul talks to the Corinthians and he said, I have not fed you with meat because you're not able to bear it or digest it. You're a babe in Christ. As a baby is not able to digest meat. It's not matured enough physically to be able to ingest and digest meat, so it must drink milk. And Paul said to the Corinthians, you are baby Christians. You're not mature enough to take meat. You must be fed milk. And so there, the apostle uses the analogy of milk and meat to describe the spiritual condition of Christians. So the Christians that are carnal and baby-like in their spiritual development, they can't even digest meat. They can't even understand it. The true meanings of the Scripture, the deep meanings of the Scripture, are often above them. So they're fed milk until they grow enough. That's why it says, desire ye, as newborn babes in Christ, desire ye the sincere milk of the Word. When you first become a Christian, you don't have to know all of the deep mysteries of the Bible. Well, in fact, I don't care how long you've been saved, you're never going to know all the deep mysteries of the Bible. But the point is that when you're a babe in Christ, you start with the simple things of the Lord. And you learn the basics, the fundamental, the rudimentary things of God. And then as you digest that, then you move on to the weightier matters of Scripture. And that's how we grow. So you see the analogy that's used. The sheep love the green grass. They love to graze. They love to feed. They love to feast. The Christian who loves to feed on the Word of God. The third characteristic of a sheep is a sheep never misses feeding time. That's a characteristic of a sheep. If there is food available, they will be there. And they're not in a hurry. They're not in a hurry to leave the grass and the feast that they're enjoying. They enjoy the feasting. They enjoy the food. And they will stay there a long period of time and enjoy grazing in the pasture. They're not in a hurry. You got to wonder. Somebody told me not to, many months ago, I should say told me, I read it in one of these religious magazines. And they said the average sermon in the average church in America today is under 20 minutes in length. The average sermon in the average church, regardless of denomination, is under 20 minutes. He said, boy, do we get our money's worth, for those of you that are watching on. Hey, you know, and at the 20-minute mark here at Liberty Fellowship, we haven't even left the appetizers yet. We haven't even gotten to the main course in 20 minutes. Most of them only have one service a week. How can you teach and give people the feast of God's word in 20 minutes? I mean, I guess it can be done somewhere. I've never figured out how to do it. It takes time to develop a meal. It takes time. If you're going to, you know, there's a difference between going to McDonald's. Yeah, I know. Don't say it. And going to a fine restaurant and enjoying a four-course meal. Can I get an amen on? I mean, there is a huge difference between those two experiences. And what we've got in our churches is we've got a bunch of fast food preaching. And that's why our Christians are not getting the nourishment from God's word that they need from the pulpit. The sheep never miss feeding time. They're always there, and they are not in a hurry to leave. Fourthly, the sheep love to be sheared. They really do. When the wool on the sheep gets full, the sheep are extremely uncomfortable. They move slowly. They are vulnerable to the wolves and the other predators that are more easily able to grab onto them and to pin them to the earth. They're easily entangled in brush and in branches. They can become enmeshed in all kinds of natural conditions because of all this wool, I mean, that they're carrying. They collect burrs and briars. They get matted. It just becomes a real uncomfortable point in their existence whenever that wool is really full on their bodies. So then the shepherd comes along and shears the wool off of them. And if you've ever seen this on television or anything, you will often see the sheep, after they have been sheared, jumping up and down. They're so happy and they feel so free because all that excess weight and encumbrance is gone, and they just love to run and jump. They feel so good because of having that wool taken off of them. The wool is the contribution that the sheep makes to the shepherd for caring for them and for feeding them and for protecting them. The wool is the natural contribution that they make to the shepherd in appreciation for all that the shepherd does for them. Well, this, of course, tracks with Christians who love to give to the Lord. The Bible says the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And then somebody added, and he also accepteth from a grouch. But the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The word cheerful in the Greek, some of you know what it is. The word cheerful in the Greek means what? Some of you know? Hilarious. Hilarious. The word picture is the Lord loves someone who is hilariously cheerful when they have an opportunity to give to the Lord. The shepherd. We are contributing to him of that which he has given to us. As the sheep contributes its wool to the shepherd, we contribute our tithes, our offerings, our substance that God has allowed us to accumulate and to earn. And as a token of our love and our appreciation for him, we return to him that which we have. The sheep gives the wool, we give that which God has given to us. Our time, our treasure, our talents are all contributions that we make to the shepherd for his loving watch care over our lives. Now, the goats and the wolves, try to shear them. Try to shear a goat, try to shear a wolf and see what happens. It's not going to be a pleasant experience. But the sheep love to give back to the shepherd. These are some of the characteristics of the sheep. And by the way, if you growl at offering time, maybe that's an indicator that you're not a sheep, but something else. All right, so the sheep. All right, number two, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 27. Proverbs 27:27. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food. So we have, first of all, the sheep, God's children. They love still waters. They love peace. They love to feed on the word of God. They love to be sure. They love to contribute back to the shepherd. They are a calm, peaceful, loving being that contributes greatly to the shepherd in appreciation for his care over them. Now we come to the goats. Wool is taken from the sheep. Milk is taken from the goats. Now, some things about goats. Goats can be mixed with sheep. They can be. But not without turmoil. Put goats in a herd of sheep, and you're going to have a certain amount of problems. Because goats are by nature agitators. They don't follow instructions easily. They have a strong, stubborn streak. They go around butting things all the time. And they're always causing discomfort to the sheep. They're butting the sheep. They're always agitating the sheep. They get around the sheep and they'll make the sheep nervous. The sheep don't know what the goat is going to do next. And it becomes a real tense situation with sheep when the goats are around. Goats are like church members who are always going around butting things. Yeah, what? I know the pastor said that, but... And yeah, I know we're supposed to have but, and they're always agitating. They're never content. They're never satisfied. Always stirring up some kind of trouble within the flock. Goats, secondly, don't like green pastures. That's boring to them. They like all kinds of. I mean, have you ever found anything that a goat won't eat? I mean, give goats a nice green pasture to graze on, and the goat is wandering off, looking for something else. And before you know it, he's chewing on briars and bristles. And I mean, he'll eat anything, tin cans. You know, a goat will just eat about anything. These church members who don't like the feasting of the word that is often given to them, but are always going about trying to find something else. That they think is better. If you're not careful, if you're a shepherd, you have to watch, because if the goats are not somewhat contained and disciplined, they will destroy the pasture. The goats won't destroy the sheep. They're not meat eaters. They're not carnivorous. They're not going to kill the sheep and eat the meat. But they will, if you're not careful, they will destroy the pasture, the feeding ground that the sheep use. They will destroy that and make it very difficult for the sheep to graze. Thirdly, goats like to roam. They're not content with the shepherd. They're not content with the pasture. They're always looking to run away somewhere else. They're always, put a fence around a goat, and a goat is going to find every way possible to get out of that fence. Have you got goats? They're not going to stay in that fence unless they are absolutely forced to. If there is a weakness in that fence, they're going to find it. If there's a hole in that fence, they're going to find it. And pretty soon you're going to find them halfway down the neighborhood, you know, in somebody else's yard eating their shrubbery and their bushes and their flowers and all that. They are roamers. They're never content with where they are. Nothing ever satisfies them. They have to be roaming off somewhere else. And, you know, there's a lot of, I guess they're Christians, that are like that. There are Christians like that. They just are never content. Never. They're not satisfied with anything or anyone. Any pasture, any sermon, any pastor, any church. They're always roaming. They're always moving. Going from place to place, pastor to pastor, church to church. They are just roamers. They're never content, never happy. Why? Well, it's the nature of a goat to be that way. Goats are not worthless. They do give milk. They contribute. They give milk. And they are productive. While goats are part of that farmer's herd, while, as long as they are there and contained in that barnyard or that pasture, they will contribute. Yeah, if they can get away, they will. And if they could find somewhere else to go, they would go. But as long as they are there, they do contribute. But sheep have got to be careful about following the goats, because there's no telling where a goat will lead a sheep. And in your mind and in your heart, you need to understand the spiritual significance of this, and you need to be able to determine spiritually in the body of Christ, am I dealing with a sheep or am I dealing with a goat? Because if you're dealing with a goat, you better be careful about following him or her very far, because there's no telling where they're going to lead you. The sheep is not going to do well following the goat. The sheep loves to keep their eyes on the shepherd. Okay, now we come to the wolves. Look at Acts chapter 20. We were just there a minute ago. Acts chapter 20. Paul said that after my departing, grievous wolves shall come in among you. All right, let's talk about a little bit about the nature of a wolf. Wolves love high places so they can watch the prey. The sheep are food for the wolf. The wolf doesn't care about grazing on grass. The wolf is a meat eater. The wolf has his eyes on the prey. And he loves to be in a high place so that he can be constantly watching where the shepherd is and where the sheep are. And when the sheep get too far away from the shepherd, that's when the wolf realizes that he has an opportunity to destroy the sheep. So he's always on in a vantage point where he can keep his eye both on the flock, the sheep, and also on the shepherd who is trying to protect the sheep. He's not looking for water or pasture. He's looking for flesh and blood. Of course, in the biblical analogy, sheep are describing Christians. And I think goats are probably describing Christians as well. But wolves, my brothers and sisters, are not Christians. They're not saved people. They are destroyers. They are the enemies of the sheep. and they seek the destruction of the sheep. They're not pretending to be something. They are the enemy of God's people. Wolves are often, in the church analogy, wolves are often promoted to leadership positions. Because wolves are, by nature, aggressive. They are dominating personalities. They are forceful, intimidating. People who are weaker tend to follow strong leaders. Sometimes those leaders may be bad, and they will garner attention and devotees to them. The wolves are often in positions of leadership in the church. Why? Well, not only because of their nature as aggressive leader types, but also because when they're in a position of leadership, that gives them the opportunity to keep their eye on the flock better. They're able to discern and ascertain the weaknesses of the flock and who is vulnerable and who is not. If you're in a position of leadership, it's not too difficult to find out those who are weaker. And if your job is to prey upon the weak, then you're able to identify them easier whenever you're in a position of authority over them. So wolves are often in a position high above the sheep to be able to take a good look at where they are and who they are. Secondly, wolves run in packs. Wolves run in packs. It's amazing how people who have the nature of wolves can so quickly discover each other. They never knew this fella from Adam's house cat 2 days ago. But as soon as they meet them, there is an instant connection. There is a fellow wolf. That's someone that can be a part of my pack. We can do together in this flock more effectively than I could individually. And so they began to work together in packs inside the body of Christ in order to devour the sheep. It's amazing to me. I've watched this for over 40 years. I have seen this happen over and over and over and over. How in the world do these people meet? How in the world do they become such good friends so quickly? And how do they become such trouble? How did that happen? It's like you know, have you ever in school, whenever you were a kid, you know, there was like a couple bullies in the school. And as long as they were by themselves, they were harmless. But put them together and watch out. They become monsters. How is that? They both have that same nature, that is same aggressive, violent nature. And when they get around each other, they feed off of each other's violence and ill will, and they become very adversarial among the flock. There's also signs that follow the wolf. Wolves growl and show their teeth. They get angry very easily. Sheep never do that. Even goats don't do that. I mean, they may butt you, but they're not going to growl and show their teeth at you. But boy, wolves will. At the slightest resistance, they will show their fangs and they will become angry at whoever the person is that is trying to resist them. They growl, show that wolves are sly and sneaky. Very smart in the way they hunt and track not only animals but humans. I read a story of a man that was camping along with some other folks. This happened in upstate New York. And they were at the evening campsite, and some of the members of the party were preparing the meal. This one man who was not involved in that, decided that he would take 15 or 20 minutes and just walk around the campsite a little bit and enjoy the natural surroundings he was in. He never came back. And when they found his body, well, first of all, there wasn't much to find. He was almost completely devoured in a matter of moments. He was almost completely devoured. The professionals, when they came to investigate, it was in the wintertime, and they saw the tracks of the wolves. They said that the wolves were outside the perimeter of that campsite, and they were watching every member of that campsite for a long time. They were just laying in wait, watching everybody. And when that man left the camp, and he was only a few yards, he wasn't that far away from the campsite whenever they got him, they immediately began to follow. And not just to follow, but to plan where their attack point would occur, where the ambush would take place. And they showed, and the article that I read went into great detail to describe how the wolves tracked him, and how some of them were over here, and some of them were over here, and others came in behind him, and others came in front of him, and at the perfect point, when that man didn't realize it, but when he walked into the funnel, the natural funnel that the wolves had planned for him to go into, they struck. And he had absolutely nowhere to go. And he was foolishly unarmed. And that man was dead in a matter of seconds. And he was devoured in a matter of moments. That is how devious and diabolical wolves are. They are smart, cunning. So when the Bible refers to wolves in the scripture, understand that that is the type of person the Bible is describing. A vicious, violent, cunning, smart, devious, diabolical soul who plans their attack against whatever sheep it is. The weak sheep. The sheep that strays. The sheep that is vulnerable. They don't attack just anyone and everyone. If they think the sheep are too strong or they're too united or there's not the right opportunity, they'll forego. They are looking for the perfect person and the perfect place and the perfect time to launch their attack. And of course, that is the way the devil approaches us, isn't it? Hello? Isn't that what the devil does? He's crafty, smart, calculating. When something happens to us that really, truly is an attack, and we say to ourselves, wow, where did that come from? And it seems like it came out of nowhere, right? We're shocked, surprised. I didn't see that coming. But the devil had been planning it for weeks, months, maybe years, calculating. That's the description of a wolf. And of course, the wolf is a meat eater. He doesn't care about grass and berries. He wants flesh and blood. The sheep are frightened by the wolves, and rightly so. If you recognize a man or a woman to be a wolf, a spiritual wolf, you need to understand who you're dealing with and be concerned. This is a dangerous person, spiritually. This is a dangerous person. This is someone who's going to destroy my faith, is going to destroy my heart for God, is going to destroy my courage, is going to take away from me the spiritual vitality that God has given to me. This person, I don't want anything to do with this person. A sheep doesn't want anything to do with a wolf. If a sheep gets the scent of a wolf, they will run the opposite direction. They don't want anything to do with it. And if you don't recognize the traits of a wolf, and when the Holy Spirit gives you discernment and helps you to realize that you're dealing with a spiritual wolf, you need to understand what you're dealing with and be extremely concerned and be sure you don't give that wolf any opportunity to do damage to you or your family. And then the last category, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Shepherds, sheep, goats, wolves. Now the last one. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. These are the guard dogs, also called sheep dogs. All pastors are, by definition, guard dogs. They are guarding the sheep. The shepherd looks over the sheep constantly. Make sure that they're safe and protected. If you've ever watched any of these nature shows when they talk about sheep, have you ever seen any of those? It's really fascinating. Every shepherd has several guard dogs with him when he takes the sheep out to pasture. Those guard dogs are amazing. They're amazing. They are situated in a perimeter around the sheep, and they are doing two things. They are watching the sheep to make sure that they don't stray off by themselves and get in trouble, and they're watching and smelling and listening for wolves that may be in the area that may be looking to attack the sheep. And those guard dogs are absolutely phenomenal. The training of those dogs is just incredible. If you ever see them going through, get on the nature show. I'm sure there's got to be some YouTube of this somewhere. Get on there and look at some of these things. And the way these dogs interact, and the way the sheep respect those guard dogs, and the way those guard dogs behave around the sheep and the shepherd. The guard dogs are not hanging around the shepherd. They don't need to hang around the shepherd. They need to be over there where the shepherd isn't. They need to be watching what the shepherd can't see. They need to be listening for what the shepherd can't hear. They're way away from the shepherd, but they are doing the assisting job for the shepherd that must be done to protect the sheep. You know, every God-called man, God will give to him guard dogs. Some of those guard dogs are men. Some of those guard dogs are women. But there went with Saul a band of men whose hearts God had touched. David had his 300 mighty men. Amen? Barak had Deborah. There is always that guardian companion that God gives to every shepherd. It's just a part of the calling. It's a part of the calling. And sometimes the shepherd doesn't always know right away who those guard dogs are, but it doesn't take long and he'll find out, because that guard dog is looking out for the shepherd and looking out for the sheep, looking out for the flock. And that guard dog is going to be all eyes, all ears, all nose. And when he smells something, hears something, sees something, he's right there to defend the flock and help the shepherd protect those sheep. You better not say anything to the about the shepherd to the guard dog. Now, you can talk about the shepherd to the goats and they'll... That'll be all right with them. They don't care. They don't like the shepherd all that much anyway. He's always shutting the fence down so they can't get off and wander around. They don't care what you say about the shepherd. But you talk about the shepherd to those guard dogs. Do you know that a truly trained shepherd guard dog would let, and this is not hyperbole, this is a fact, they would let the shepherd beat them to death with a club, and they would never resist. That's how devoted the guard dogs are to the shepherd. Now, obviously, the shepherd's never going to do that because he loves that guard dog and he's providing a great service for that shepherd. But that's the kind of loyalty that a guard dog has to the shepherd. And God will give every true man of God those kind of guard dogs, both men and women. And God just puts it in their heart. And I just marvel at it. And it's amazing. You never know sometimes who's going to be the wolf. And you never know who's going to be the guard dog. But you know what? The wolves fear the guard dogs. They fear them. Because they know that that guard dog will fight that wolf to the death to protect those sheep. He knows it. He knows he's got a fight of his life on his hands if he engages that guard dog. They will, if they see the guard dog over here, they will quietly move around the perimeter and try to find a spot where the guard dogs are not, where there is an opening for them to go in and grab a sheep that may be astray. But if they see those guard dogs, man, they will move. They will not confront. That these wolves in our churches, you know, that's why somebody says, you know, Pastor, I never hear all this gossip and slander and backbiting. Well, yeah, there's a reason for that. The wolf knows you're a guard dog. They don't want anything to do with you. They're not going to say anything to you because they know you're not going to take it. You're not going to accept it. Hush! That's none of your business. You're out of line. How dare you make an accusation like that? They will protect with ferocity the integrity of the herd and protect the sheep and help the shepherd. Yeah, these troublemaking wolves, they're not going to come to you with their gossip and their slander because they know that you're a guard dog. So they're going to try to stay away from it. And if you're in a group, and they're not going to say anything to the group. But when the guard dog leaves the group, the wolf comes in and starts showing its fangs, its criticism, its assault, its character assassination. The guard dog comes back up. Oh, change the subject. Something else. Guard dog's away. Ah, they're going to do their criticism. Shepherds have loyal guard dogs to help them keep the sheep safe. The duty of the shepherd to help the sheep in the fold and corral the goats and keep out the wolves. Those dogs are amazing. I've watched videos of them. And I've watched them as they help herd the sheep. It's just amazing what they'll do. The sheep learn to respect and listen to the guard dogs. A sheep will start getting... sheep are geographical morons. True. It's true. They are. Sheep are geographical morons. You can turn them around twice and they won't have any idea where they are. They have no sense of direction whatsoever. True, it's true, it's a fact. Their mind just does not work that way. So that's why they're so easily lost. That's why you got to have these guard dogs around to make sure that they stay where they're supposed to be, because they'll be grazing along and they're just happy and just, well, things wonderful. It's a beautiful day and the grass is green, and they're walking along before they know it. They're getting eaten by a wolf because they're way off course. So those guard dogs, they'll see a sheep that's starting to get away from where they're supposed to be. Then that guard dog will walk, run over there, start barking at that sheep, and that sheep will turn around and get back where it's supposed to be. That's the nature of sheep, and that's how the guard dogs help them so well. And you know, really, something about it, as the sheep of his pasture, without the Lord giving us discernment and wisdom and knowledge and understanding, we would be lost too, wouldn't we? Come on, be honest. We would be. We spiritually, we're geographical morons. Spiritually, we would make so many mistakes. We would get way off course if we're not. But the Lord gives us His Holy Spirit. He gives us direction, and He gives us shepherds, and He gives us His will, and so forth. Keeps us where we're supposed to be. But it's a good analogy of the sheep and the guard dogs. The good watchdog never turns on the shepherd. Never, 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 never. He's always watching the wolves. They're positioned around the perimeter of the flock. They're never in between the sheep and the shepherd. You'll never see a guard dog in between the shepherd and the sheep, because they instinctively know that the shepherd needs to have his eye in direct contact with the sheep so he can watch and be prepared. They never get in between the shepherd and the sheep. They're always on the outside helping the shepherd watch the sheep. I get goosebumps when I think about these dogs and how wonderful they really are. If a watchdog ever turns wolf, doesn't happen very often, but once in a while, a pack of wolves will entice a guard dog away from the shepherd and get them in their pack. Again, it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, that guard dog then is forever unable to ever be a guard dog again. It has now succumbed to the temptation of the wolf. It's taken on the nature of the wolf. It's become part of the pack of the wolf, and the shepherd could never, ever, ever again trust that dog with the sheep. Thankfully, for the shepherd's sake, it doesn't happen too often. Those guard dogs are usually so loyal. So the Lord uses these analogies in the Scripture to describe the church, the sheep, the goat, the wolves, the sheepdog. And may God give us the discernment that we need to have to be, hopefully, in the spirit realm, be a sheep of the Lord, following Him, submissive to Him, pleasing Him, loving Him, giving to Him, sharing with Him, accepting His umbrella of love and protection over our lives, and maybe a guard dog if God puts that in our hearts and we become that champion of defense for the flock and for the shepherd. A goat isn't a meat eater, but a goat can sure be a pain in the rear end. And we don't want to be that, do we? I mean, come on, in the church, we don't really want to be a goat. It's not a spiritual condition to be in. And then, of course, the wolf. That's the one that the devil plants inside the flock. Appears in sheep's clothing, as Jesus said, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And there'll be signs of it. There'll be signs of it if you're discerning. And for once in a while, that growl and those teeth will be bared. The signs of that wolf will appear. They can't totally control their nature. They do their best to fit in. They do their best to camouflage who they really are. But there are going to be signs. And when you see the signs and you recognize you're dealing with a wolf, first of all, you need to let the shepherd know. You need to let the shepherd know. Secondly, you want to be sure that you don't give access of your family and of your own heart to that wolf. Because that wolf is going to hurt you. It's going to hurt your family. Be on guard. And as the flock of God, enjoy the wonderful provision and peace and joy that God gives us as the body of Christ. Amen? All right, let's stand for prayer. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.